Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My cousin, hope you guys are doing well today. Had a great weekend. Maybe did a little R&R. Maybe you did a little work. Maybe you did a lot of work. Maybe you did a lot of R&R. I'm not sure, but let's get back at it today. And welcome to today's 15-minute huddle. Guys, I'm going to take a short different tack today. You know, we've been working on a lot of stuff on mindset and some strategy. We had a great group call last week with Dave Dinkle on investing. And I want to get back to a fundamental of one of the most important areas if you're in the real estate world. And frankly, guys, I think this concept today we're going to talk about, you can apply it to any business. But again, I want to focus today for those of my clients who are listening to this call who are in the real estate world. And you can also apply this. Let me just say it this way. You can apply it if you're a listing agent, real estate agent. You can apply it if you're a buyer's agent. You can apply it if you're a small business person, because the concepts and the principles remain the same. And if you're an investor, similar thoughts will apply here. So it may not be perfect for what you're trying to accomplish, but I feel that this is very important as it is. So guys, that being said, as we've all known that, you know, in the real estate business, on the retail side, those who control the inventory control their own destinies. And it's your choice to either be the boss or you can be the employee. It's obvious that if you are in control of the inventory, you have the listings, that you're the boss. If you're the employee, you are typically working for those folks who already have the inventory, and all you are simply doing is bringing buyers to that inventory to make a sale. Now, they both work well. There's nothing wrong with either one of them fundamentally. However, from a case of perspective of control and leverage in your business, it is most ideal that you control your business more so with listings. And a good ratio is about 60% to 70%, maybe 80% of your business should come from listings sold, of which 40% to 30%, maybe a little bit less, come from buyer sales. You have a good balance there if you're going down that path. As you start to progress in your business and as you start to become more successful in your business, building a more predictable business, you're going to find that your business over time, you'll find that you personally more likely will be carrying or doing probably about 80 to 90% of your business as a result of listings. And inherently, that's where you're going to end up. Now, what's going to happen is you're not going to be working with the buyers. You're going to be delegating those out, or you might have a showing agent that's working with you. However, as you produce more, you're going to do more of your own sales of your own listings, meaning that you're going to either double end them or you're going to for sure control the inventory by listing them. So today, I want to go into very quickly 8 real important areas for getting more listings. This is a critical area, pretty fundamental, but it's a great reminder to all of us who are out there looking to get listings. And these are areas that are really critical in order for you to have the most success. And there's obviously deeper levels with each one of these areas through scripting and preparation and documentation and so on. However, this is a great snapshot. And what I want you to do after you've listened to this, I want you to write these thoughts down and then ask yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you? What's your level of expertise? What's your level of skill? What's your mindset around it? What do you need to learn? What's going well for you in these areas, etc.? Keep in mind, guys, that these are fundamentals that will help you pursue higher levels of listings in your business. Again, there is more depth to each one of these points, but I think you'll get it once we go through it, and then we just have to address it. If you have a coach or a trainer, or you need to call me up on it, whatever the case is, give us a call and let me help you go at the deeper levels with all of these particular areas. And it's obvious that you can go to realprofitbuilders.com, pick up this recording later, re-listen to these, and again, scale yourself, one being weak, 10 being strong, whatever's in the middle, you can figure that out, and then let's make it happen. All right, so the very first thing that's really, really important, guys, is once you've gotten, once you've went out lead generated, you got somebody that you're talking to wants to potentially list their home, okay, it is obvious that you want to pre-qualify the seller of the property. So your ideal situation, quote unquote, is to work with only motivated sellers, okay? You have better control when you have more leads that you could work with of sellers, whether they're motivated or not. So when I say it's important that you only work with motivated sellers, you have to get yourself to a place that you don't depend on any one person so you can control your opportunity, because you are literally working with people that only are motivated. And these are sellable homes. And you're working with sellers who want to, that are not just testing the market to see if they can get as much money as they can, and or they might be over mortgaged, okay? And having those will drive you crazy. It's an inherent waste of time to go out there and list unsellable listings that are overpriced with unmotivated sellers. Keep in mind, guys, the higher the motivation, the more reasonable or the lower the price is going to be. So you got to work with, you got to be in control of that. And again, the way you're going to better control that decision before going out and working with people is having more than you can have handle, so to speak, in your ballywick there, so you can be better in control of your destiny. So you want to discover what the needs, wants, and desires of your clients, of your prospects are, and that comes through a series of questions that you must ask them. If you don't have the questions, I implore you, get a series of questions that you can work with and use them 100% of the time, because they do work. They're very, very important. One, just to find out their motivation, and two, to help you develop and structure your presentation according to the answers that you're going to get from asking those questions. Point number two, pre-selling before you go on an appointment. Don't walk into a house as a scary stranger. In other words, you're not prepared at all. Instead, you want to enter the home as, so to speak, a celebrity, an expert, and a welcome guest, okay? How? You pre-sell the homeowner before you arrive with a great pre-listing package and something that lets them know what you do, who you are, by educating them with your resume, some testimonials, frequently asked questions that might come up. If you have any guarantees that I encourage everybody to offer, make sure that they're in there, your marketing plan, what you're going to do to actually sell their home. And there's also other venues today where, and I'm going to encourage it, that you can send out, in addition to the package, a personalized introduction video email, introducing yourself, letting them know that you're going to be sending them a package, maybe covering some of the bullets of that package, and then asking and encouraging them to listen to the video and what, or more importantly, read what's in the package when they get it. And then you thank them and look forward to meeting them at their, at the specific date and time that you all have established. So guys, pre-sell before going on appointment is very, very powerful. The next position, next point here is positioning yourself as the expert. Guys, people like winners. People don't work with people who have already proven themselves. People who have a deep knowledge base in their business are perceived as authorities and experts in what they do. And if you have a great track record, share it. Okay, toot your own horn. It's quite okay. It's to brag on yourself a little bit. And if you don't tell the seller, well, your competition won't do it for you. That's for darn sure. All right. So the other part of this is, if you don't have a track record, maybe you're new in this or you're restarting your business, whatever the case is, doesn't matter. What you want to do is ride on the coattails of your brokers in your offices. Okay. Just say, instead of I, just use the word we, and all of us in our office, we start and this is what we do in our company. These are the this is our track record. This is our history. This is how many homes we have sold. Take advantage of it. There is no harm. And if somebody says to you, well, what about you? Did you do anything? Absolutely. I have built a life of success and prosperity, and I'm here to help you to sell your home. And guys, it's okay to go down that road with people. Just be honest with them. If you haven't, listen, you might be starting out, you might be brand new, and that's quite okay. But use the foundation of what you have that's around you. And again, if you have your own testimonials and you have your own track record, definitely take advantage of it. Point number four is a marketing plan to sell their home. You want to get more listings, get a marketing plan that you're going to show the client, one, to sell their home. Two, make sure when you need to do it, And I'm going to say, guys, if you're competing, if you are selling a for sale by owner, if you are working with an expired listing, if you are, if a seller questions you more than normal about what you might be doing inside of your original or initial conversations that you're having, you definitely want to make sure that you present. You just don't want to show them on a piece of paper your list of 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 things that you're going to do to get their home sold. It is not enough. Even if you ask them, did you read what I sent you with regard to what I'm going to do to sell your home? Oh, yes, I read it and it's fantastic. I love all of the things that you're going to do. Don't go on the assumption that because they read it, they understand it. You can use the marketing plan that you have as a leverageable discussion in your meeting with them. And it's very, very important. And I'm going to encourage you, if you don't do it often enough, I would definitely make sure that you do it and have a nice marketing plan that you are discussing with your sellers. Point number five is pricing the property to for a sale and to maximize the seller's profit without overpricing. Guys, you don't want to take, let me say it this way. You have to understand that pricing is a science, and there's a and being good about it is very, very important. So you want to collect your sales from the perspective of what are the active, in other words, who am I competing against, and two, who has sold their property. Now, you might, in some cases, need or you could use expired listings. I don't ever encourage anybody to use pending sales unless there is no other active properties, because you can't present pending sales as a property that's under contract. If you put it on your market analysis and a seller says, what does this PS mean? What does pending sale mean? You have to tell them this is a property that's sold, but it's currently under contract and has not closed yet. What do you think their first question is going to be? That's right. How much did it sell for? And your response must be legally, ethically, and morally, I can't tell you. Even if you did know, you can't share it with them. And very typically, you're probably not going to know. So automatically, it becomes a deceptive conversation. Not that you're being deceptive. It's just a perception, because you're not seeming like you're being upfront with them, even if you try to explain it. Yes, I would say some people are going to get it if they understand it. But don't put it out there if you don't need to use it. The only time you use a pending sale, if it's going to be a competitive property that is considered as an active in that area. But let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, make sure that you want to maximize the opportunity to get as many eyeballs in that property to get it sold. And you want to present that to the seller. You don't want to let that, you want to let them know that overpricing is going to cost them time and money. Even if they're not highly motivated, it is still costing them time and money. Your situation is the same thing. It's costing you time and money to list a house that's not going to really sell because it's way overpriced. You don't need to go down that road. But make sure that your pricing is understood strategically and it's explained strategically when you need to do it. Don't be over analytical when you don't need to be, but just make sure that you understand that pricing is a science, and it's one of the bigger parts of your presentation. And if you're not sure how to present the best practice or having the best practice on presenting the market analysis, then you got to work on that for sure. Okay, I hope you get that. I'm sure you do. The next thing is point number six is receiving your full commissions and having the seller thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, we have a lot of competitors coming up nowadays that is going to come out and they're going to say we do it for nothing or we do it for a flat fee. We call these our discount brokers. And at the end of the day, as you all know, if something is free, you're going to get what you pay for. Okay. If it's something that is low, you're going to get what you pay for. And what you want to be able to do is distinguish yourself from everybody else. And that goes with all of these steps that I'm sharing with you today to build that foundation up. Now, I'm going over a little bit today, ladies and gentlemen, because these are important and it's only a couple more. So hang out for a couple more minutes. So people obviously know they get what they pay for. So you want to make sure that you keep in mind that you are bringing value to people's lives. You're bringing in a tremendous amount of value, service, and professionalism to their space and make sure that they are aware of it. Don't worry about your competitors who are discounting. Sell better, become better value driver than your discount brokers. At the end of the day, folks, we have to get out there and we have to show the sellers what we can do, and you can do it with all these steps, as I said a second ago. The next thing that you need to become great at taking more listings is obviously you have to handle the seller's objections, their stalls, their apprehensions about wanting to sign the contracts. At the end of the day, there's going to be some very typical objections that people are going to throw at you, and it is up to you and it's your responsibility to figure that out. How will you know what they are? By making presentations, by going out and doing more presentations. If you haven't done any presentations, talk to experts. People have done a lot of presentations and ask them what their most common objections are, such as, I want a higher price. I want you to lower your commission. I've got a friend in the business. I want to think about it. Again, ladies and gentlemen, it's important that we understand what these potential objections are going to be, and we have to have the ability to respond to them in a professional, expert, authoritative way so people respect your responses when you give them to them. So know what they are and get them down to understanding them. And the last point here, guys, is simply this. You want to get more listings, you have to ask more often. You want to get hired before everybody else. What I want to share with you, oftentimes people say, well, Mike, do I come in, if I'm competing, do I come in first? What if I'm the middle person? Or should I come in as the last person? Your most ideal situation, and oftentimes, is to be the last person in. Now, some people will disagree with that, and for years I kind of disagreed with that, at least in the training perspective. As you start to build your muscle and your strength and your skill set, you might get away and be perfectly fine going in on the first run. I am like that. Listen, if I'm competing, I want to be the first person in because I feel that I can get the listing no matter what, and it's worked for me genuinely many times because of that. However, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, don't worry about it. Your preparation is, and knowing that you're going to be coming in first, last, or second is all in what you say to the seller when it comes down to making that decision at to what position that you can be in. There's some simple solutions to that, and I can't get into the details of those today because of time that we are exceeding over today, but here's the bottom line, guys. Go back through these 8 points. And work on these different areas and find out where you're strong, find out where you're weak, and bring those both up. Make sure that you work aggressively on understanding the philosophy of becoming a great listing agent on one side, but the underlying factor here, as you all know, ladies and gentlemen, is the importance of controlling the inventory. Those who have the success in this business are very, very typically those who control the inventory. So think about that. If you have any questions, reach out to me, Mike at Mike Husson. Go to Real Profit Builders. Listen to this com. Listen to this recording again. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. Look in any way that I can to help you out. Go out, have a very, very successful week this week, and we will talk to you tomorrow.